Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, welcome to episode number 72 of Proclaim, the podcast that teaches every Bible-believing Christian how to preach the gospel by any means necessary in many different settings, including using the internet and what I call the new podcast pulpit. Our scripture passage on preaching is Matthew chapter 18, verses 19 and 20, which reads, "Again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." Our quote on preaching today is from Richard Baxter. He said, "Prayer must carry on our work as much as preaching. He preacheth not heartily to his people that will not pray heartily for them." In this podcast, beloved, we are using as our text, the following three, the following three books, Lectures to My Students by Charles Haddon Spurgeon. I thought I was getting ready to preach there for a minute. The Preacher and His Preaching by Alfred P. Gibbs, and Biblical Preaching by Haddon W. Robinson. Today, our topic is titled Our Public Prayer, Part 5, from Lectures to My Students by Charles H. That is H standing for Haddon Spurgeon. "Pray for your people as saints and sinners, not as if they were all saints." Amen. Allow me to repeat that in your hearing. "Pray for your people as saints and sinners, not as if they were all saints. Mention the young and the aged, the impressed and the callous, the devout and the backsliding. Never turn to the right hand or to the left, but plow on in the furrow of real prayer. Let your confessions of sin and your thanksgivings be truthful and to the point, and let your petitions be presented as if you believed in God and had no doubt as to the efficacy of prayer. I say this because so many pray in such a formal manner as to lead observers to conclude that they thought it a very decent thing to pray, but after all, a very poor and doubtful business as to any practical result. Pray as one who has tried and proved his God, and therefore comes with undoubting confidence to renew his pleadings, and do remember to pray to God right through the prayer, and never fall to talking or preaching, much less, as some do, to scolding and grumbling. As a rule, if called upon to preach, conduct the prayer yourself. And if you should be highly esteemed in the ministry, as I trust you may be, make a point with great courtesy, but equal firmness, to resist the practice of choosing men to pray with the idea of honoring them by giving them something to do. Our public devotions ought never to be degraded into opportunities for compliment. I have heard prayer and singing now and then called the preliminary services, as if they were but a preface to the sermon. This is rare. I hope among us, if it were common, it would be to our deep disgrace. I endeavor invariably to take all of the service myself for my own sake, and I think also for the people's. I do not believe that anybody will do for praying. No, sirs, it is my solemn conviction that the prayer is one of the most weighty, useful, and honorable parts of the service, and that it ought to be even more considered than the sermon. There must be no putting up of anybody's. Allow me to repeat that. There must be no putting up of anybody's and nobody's to pray, and then the selection of the abler man to preach. It may happen through weakness or upon a specific occasion that it may be a relief to the minister to have someone to offer prayer for him. But if the Lord has made you love your work, you will not often or readily fulfill this part of it by proxy. If you delegate the service at all, let it be to one in whose spirituality and present preparedness you have the fullest confidence. But to pitch on a giftless brother unawares and put him forward to get through the devotions is shameful. Shall we serve heaven with less respect than we do minister to our gross selves? Appoint the ablest man to pray, and let the sermon be slurred sooner than the approach to heaven. Let the infinite Jehovah be served with our best. Let prayer addressed to the divine majesty be carefully weighed and presented with all the powers of an awakened heart and a spiritual understanding. He who has been my communion with God, prepared to minister to the people, is usually of all men present the most fit to engage in prayer. Pardon me. To lay out a program which puts up another brother in his place is to mar the harmony of the service, to rob the preacher of an exercise which would brace him for his sermon, and in many instances to suggest comparisons between one part of the service and the other which ought never to be tolerated. If unprepared brethren are to be sent into the pulpit to do my praying for me when I am engaged to preach, I do not see why I might not be allowed to pray and then retire to let these brethren do the sermonizing. I am not able to see any reason for depriving me of the holiest, sweetest, and most profitable exercise which my Lord has allotted me. If I may have my choice, I will sooner yield up the sermon than the prayer. Thus much I have said in order to impress upon you that you must highly esteem public prayer and prayer period, and I'm adding that part, and seek of the Lord for the gifts and graces necessary to his right discharge so that you can preach with power. And I'm adding that part as well. Let's pray. Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for helping us to see why the Prince of Preachers, Charles Haddon Spurgeon, was so great and made great by you. He was a man of deep prayer, and he understood that the power was in prayer, not in the preaching. Prayer is what makes the preaching powerful and clear and plain for sinners to come to belief and faith in Jesus Christ. I give you the glory, praise, and honor for this time together. Lord, save millions of souls through the proclaiming of the gospel. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Now, beloved, as we close today, I want to speak to those who have never truly trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior, as well as those who have doubts about their salvation. Allow me to share with you very clearly how you can trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today and be saved from hell fire forever and have a home in heaven with God forever. Here is how in more detail. First, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's law, and so have I. We all have. For the Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Second, accept the fact, dear friend, that there is a penalty for sin. The Bible states in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." Third, accept the fact that you are on the road to hell right now without Christ. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Also, the Bible states in Revelation 21:8, "But the fearful and unbelieving, and the abominable, and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Now this is bad news indeed, but I have some good news for you, and I proclaim it to you today. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, his name is Jesus Christ," he was speaking about himself, "that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And just believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live forever with him. Pray and ask him to come into your heart today to save your soul, and he will save you. Romans chapter 10 verse 9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Pray and ask him to come into your heart to save your soul today, and he will. May God bless you and keep you.